This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM. At your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll free at 1-800-447-4463. If you're listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome to Party Line on this Friday morning. I'm Kevin Keith. We have News Director Ken Hartman standing by. It's a rainy, kind of a chilly Friday morning, but we're going to go take a look at your Skywatch weather forecast in just a moment. I want to thank our sponsors off the bat. They are Jennifer Peen Shelter Insurance. We're your shield. We're your shelter. Kramer Lumber Do It Center. Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. Encompass Credit Union. Community-minded, just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance. Like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse. Call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare. Indiana Packers, makers of Indiana Kitchen Premium Pork Products. Hearing Care Professionals, Hear Well, Live Well. Johnny V's Main Street Grill, Ivy Tech Community College, Changing Lives, Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. News Director Ken Hartman joins me. Hi, Ken.
Hey.
Well, this happened late last night, and no survivors. We don't have a whole lot of details, but a plane crash apparently from Eagle Creek airstrip, I guess, at Indianapolis,
right,
on its way to Green Bay, Wisconsin, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Around 7:40 last night, they had received a call of a plane crash. It was a Cessna something there. I click on my read more tab here. And so anyway, it was a Cessna 441. They said the heavy rains, the crash scene was very muddy. And of course, it's kind of remote out there, about 3 miles north of Rossville.
And you can't get any kind of decent signals for any kind of phone. So,
yeah, that is a kind of a weird spot. I've been up that way a couple times going home. So, no indications as of right now how many people were on board, but they said there were no survivors. So we'll be finding out more details probably in the next couple of days there, but a very unfortunate situation right here in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So last night was the Lincoln Day
dinner, supper.
How did that go?
Went great.
Yeah?
I had a good time last night. I really did, and I enjoyed myself. Got a chance to talk to several people I haven't had a chance to talk to for quite a little while, and, you know, I was very pleased with how the night went for me. I think how it's going to go for us here on the show and some other things that came out of last night.
So we're working on continuous improvement for Party Line, right?
Right.
We're trying to have those right guests. And you were hobnobbing with state representatives and all kinds of.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to some people I haven't had a chance to talk to in quite some time. And, you know, and as I said yesterday, it was so good to see Connie Lawson again, and she did an excellent job. And I'm going to tell you a story here in a second. Don't let me forget. But
okay.
She was talking about election security, and, you know, and actually she brought up the Russians during the elections on the security part during her speech last night. So that'll be coming here shortly. But shortly in the next couple of days or so. So. But a chance to talk with Todd Rakita last night. I had a chance to talk to Jim Buck. Matter of fact, I had dinner with Jim and his wife last night.
Mm.
And just a very good mix of, got a chance to really kind of take care of some things I've been wanting to take care of for some time. And,
good.
It was a lot of fun. Food, of course, shoots. We always talk about good shoots. So fantastic dinner.
Excellent.
Fantastic dinner last night. So
good.
About 2 hours and we were out of there and, very well done.
Well, we're glad you went, and thank you for going and making those contacts, so maybe we can reap some of those benefits.
I'm hoping to, and that's, we'll be interested to see what takes place. The one story I did want to bring up, Connie was talking about when she was in D.C., she hailed a cab. This is on Valentine's Day.
Right.
And she hailed a cab, and all at once she have a bunch of sirens come by and, you know, drive them past her, and cab driver goes, "Well, that's the vice president. You know, they always make sure they make sure gives him a right of way."
Right, right.
So then, as he's going by, you know, she gets a chance to roll down the window, say hi to him or anything. She just, so he goes, he stops in at CVS to go get Karen a Valentine's Day present.
Aww. With security detail, right?
Yeah. And she says, "My God," she says, "you know, security guards are jumping out everywhere in that area." So,
well, while they're at it, maybe stop by McDonald's, right?
Yeah. But she had a lot of good things to say about Mike, and of course Donald Trump. But I was, you know, it's interesting. It's very interesting to hear, you know, one of our people who has a different perspective than what we have, and, you know. So it was kind of interesting from that standpoint.
Very good. Yeah, we're glad you went to that. So, and that was a good interview you and Larry had earlier this week with Sue Elsperman, too. That was
And of course, here again, another tie to Mike Pence. I mean, she was lieutenant governor when Mike was, you know, when Mike was the governor here, and mm-hmm. I got a chance to really know her through Ivy Tech and through that part of it, and so we've stayed pretty good friends ever since, and so. Yeah, it's kind of like yesterday to me was kind of old, you know, kind of reunion day for me because, we had Sue on here Wednesday, got a chance to see Connie Lawson last night, got a chance to, you know, see Todd Rokita and all that stuff, all those people again. So for me, it was kind of like, okay, it's time to renew some things, and got a chance to talk to an old friend of mine. I had a chance to talk to you for a while yesterday as well. So, I got a lot of chance to do some things yesterday. It was kind of fun.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, Ken. We got a text from one of our account executives, Mike Downey. He was telling me we were talking about the plane crash, and he's an old pilot. I don't think he's flown for quite a while, but he said that the Cessna 441 is a twin-engine turboprop, and that's what I had got last night as well, some of the initial reports.
Yeah.
And it got me kind of worried that there, you know, with a twin engine, there might be potentially quite a few people on board, you know.
We need to clarify one thing. Mike is still a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He flies by the seat of his pants every
day. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I need a drink after that one.
So do I.
Okay. We appreciate Mike's input, and he's a good right-hand guy.
You know, Mike's a super guy. He really is.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a ton going on. Let's see. We're going to be doing basketball action next week, and this is a long drive to cover a game.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it at least two or three nights next week. So
yeah,
and Carl.
Of course, next week is win or go home. So.
Right, right.
So
we'll be we decided to go ahead and carry the Fountain Central sectional since we had two teams there, and they have a pretty good shot of – moving on. So we'll be doing that next week and bringing that all to you right here on WILO. So we were talking briefly about the WILO Skywatch weather forecast. Chance of rain till midday, but we'll see a high of 55 today. That's good.
Yeah. The problem is the rain's going to stick around. There's about maybe a 48-hour period starting Sunday that's going to, you know, with no rain.
No rain. Oh, yeah, it looks pretty dry.
But it all comes back.
Yeah, it does. Tuesday, right?
And,
yeah.
Okay. You know, what's really weird about this weather, every place around us is under a flood watch. We're not.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I mean, everybody else around us is.
Yeah, I noticed
and
that yesterday.
I looked twice to make sure I was reading what I thought I was reading this morning, and we're not there. So I'm like, okay, that's good.
How about Sunday, sunny with a high 48, Monday, sunny with a high 52, and Tuesday, sunny with a high 58?
Mm-hmm. But I know a couple of those days, though, if I'm not mistaken, and also with the rains, I think this weekend, the winds are going to be up a lot. So it's going to be interesting on some of this.
Boy, it was windy yesterday.
And it's going to be windy, I think, I want to say this weekend.
Wow. Okay. Well,
I hope I'm wrong because I'm getting a little tired of getting, you know,
blown around.
Well, I'm going to get blown around, but you know, that's another story which we won't get into.
Okay, from the "I cannot believe it" category, we heard ABC News talking about this as their lead story this morning. The armed school officer who was at the scene of the Parkland shooting is no longer on the force, but that's not the news. The Broward County Sheriff says school resource officer Scott Peterson took a position near the scene of the massacre, but quote-unquote never went in. Sheriff Scott Israel says Peterson was suspended and then decided to retire. Israel said two other deputies are being restricted as an investigation begins to determine if they could have done something to prevent the shooting. That's just sad. You stop short of calling the guy a coward. I don't know if he had an AR-15 to combat Cruz's, you know, well, firepower, but
he had
go in there, shoot him in the leg or something.
He had,
you know?
He did have a weapon, but to sit there and do nothing, I'm sorry, you know.
He did have a weapon, right?
Of course, he did have one. So,
yeah, that's just terrible.
So I'm just,
and then you have football coaches inside throwing their bodies in front of bullets.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't have a gun to
and
fight
I'll tell
back.
You what,
he had a stapler,
right? And that security guard's gonna be lucky if he doesn't have some lawsuits filed against him.
You know what? I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that's very very.
They're gonna
true.
Be very. He's gonna get incredibly lucky if none gets
some
filed.
Wrongful death or
that's
something.
Right. That's exactly right.
Just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump is hoping for a warm reception today, Ken, when he speaks before a major group of conservatives. Trump will address the annual CPAC summit in Maryland, where he's expected to tout his first year in office. He'll probably tweet it too, right?
More than likely.
Yesterday, Vice President Mike Pence told the CPAC crowd that 2017 was the most consequential year in the history of the conservative movement. We also mentioned yesterday House Speaker Paul Ryan says the late Reverend Billy Graham will lie in honor at the U.S. Capitol next week. Graham will rest in the Capitol Rotunda for about 24 hours. The famous preacher died this week at the age of 99. Congressional leaders will take part in a service when Graham's casket arrives at the Capitol on Wednesday.
You know, I haven't seen anywhere around, but I wonder who the last person was to actually be lying in the Rotunda, because it's been a while.
You know, it has been a while.
And I know, because there was for quite a time where it seemed like every other month or a couple of months, it seemed like somebody...
It was a politician
or something was there.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's been a long, long time since they've had anybody of any kind of stature in the Rotunda, you know, lying in state.
Maybe, did they with Reagan, maybe, when he passed away?
I think so, but that's been a long time ago.
Yeah, it has been. Wow. Well, I found this very interesting, and I had to read it three times, Ken, to understand it. Cary, North Carolina residents may soon have their bodily waste screened for opioid use.
I'm not going there.
I know. Town officials say there will be 10 sampling stations in the wastewater system that will measure the concentration of opioids in an area between 3,000 and 5,000 homes. The data, however, won't be able to pinpoint a specific user or home. The town has been awarded a $100,000 grant to test the plan.
I was going to say, that's the kick right there.
Man, I'm all for throwing everything at the problem, but this just seems absurd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand the concept, but what's the point? Especially if you can't narrow it down, and what are you going to do? Will that count as probable cause where you could go, oh, they have, you know, traces of opioids in their bodily waste, right? You just go throw some cuffs on them or something? I don't know. That's the strangest story I've read in a while.
I hope they know how to mask the smell in court.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of that, on a serious note, we've got our community conversations coming up in Frankfort over the next several months. The first one is going to be on Monday. Be talking with basically where it starts. It starts with law enforcement and the judicial branch for the opiate awareness day and conversations. This is 4 p.m. upstairs at the Frankfort Library, and they invite you to go over there tomorrow, Monday rather. And then the next one will be March 19th with education and the impact of drugs in the schools. April 18th will be intervention services, a panel of political leaders. May 23rd, June 27th is community programs, and July 25th will be kind of a wrap up almost for about a month prior or a month later will be the Overdose Awareness Day. But July 25th, also 4 p.m. upstairs at the Frankfort Library. It's Center Township and United Way, United Against Opiate Abuse Project and Drug/Alcohol Coalition presentation. They'll be releasing some information and data at that meeting and conversation, just kind of helping us out, building community collaboration and sharing some information. Information is the key. We'll be talking to Kevin and Carolina on Monday. Larry Glasswool here on Party Line. Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Where's that money for that grant come from?
That's a great question. It didn't specify.
Is it a federal grant or a state grant?
Let me see what it
says. I think it's a state, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it just says the town has been awarded a $100,000 grant to test the plan. So we don't know for sure yet. But isn't that absurd?
Well, it just goes to show you that they got grants for almost everything.
Man, I know, but, you know, 100 grand could go towards so many better resources to fight this opioid thing in their community, you know?
I don't disagree. But my question is, what's causing all this opioid use and overdosing?
Well, several things, I think.
Number one is prescription painkillers. Yeah. That's one.
Yep.
Oh, this is true. It is prescription, but why? I'm not saying what causes people to do it. It's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, when you try and exist in today's society, unless you are a mentally strong individual, and a lot aren't, that's just cold hard fact.
It's an escape, right?
It's exactly what it is.
That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's basically what I kind of akin this to is like you've seen these shows where you see all these people together just have mixer, like you see these big bowls of pills, and you just see them just grabbing a handful and taking that with alcohol and just having, you know, trying to escape from reality. That's essentially how I kind of look at it.
Yeah. Well, I often wonder, you know, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, it could be.
Our society. Yeah. It could be like back in the 30s.
I wasn't even thought of back then.
I wasn't either, but my mother never let me forget how the 30s were, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering that. I forgot what else I was going to bring up.
Hey, Larry, did you see that CNN, there's a couple students coming out from the town hall they had the other night on that Parkland, Florida shooting, and these students are coming out now and saying CNN told them to stick to the script, right? They had scripted questions. These kids weren't allowed to ask their own questions.
Well, you know what? I'm not surprised.
Mm-mm.
that
CNN has a history of that, don't they?
Well, most places do. Where was it? Was it Nixon that was telling the reporters what they could ask him and what they couldn't?
Yeah.
So that's not new.
No.
I'm just ashamed of it. I didn't watch it, though. So I guess I can't be discouraged by it.
I didn't watch it either, but I saw some highlights yesterday on YouTube, and there were some heated exchanges. And it was,
I can believe it because them kids want those people to do something about guns, and all they keep saying is that they're just dancing around the question. And I got one for you.
Okay.
Did you see the interview with the guy that runs a campaign for one of the gentlemen running for Senate on the conservative ticket?
I don't think so.
The guy was using that man that was killed by that Hispanic that was drunk.
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that killed the Colts player?
Right.
Yeah.
And the driver's wife is really upset because they're using his picture and name in a political commercial.
Oh, really? No, I had not seen that.
And then Channel 13 or Channel 8 went to interview the guy, and he wouldn't give him the campaign manager, and he wouldn't give him a straight answer.
Wow. Well, that's
exploitation. Go on, Ken.
I just saying that's an exploitation, you know. That's not something you should be putting in an ad, I don't think.
Well, I agree it's legal, but they asked him about what... they were going to tell the wife, and they said, well, we have been praying for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how's that an answer to the question?
No, it's not.
And a candidate wouldn't even talk to him on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that, I think he's running for Senate, so that's not too good.
No, that's not a way to go about it.
That sounds like a trick the Democrats would use.
You said it, Larry, not me.
Well, yeah, I'm a man, you know.
I know.
I'm used to the National Democrats doing some really stupid stuff.
Right.
And the Republicans aren't far behind them anymore.
No. Trump tweeting gets on my nerves every day.
Yeah.
I like, you know, being able to talk directly to the people and stuff, you know, but wow, sometimes enough is enough, right?
Well, that is true, and what I'm getting from all his tweets, when you lump them all together, is that he's pro-Russian.
Mm-hmm. He says he's not, though.
He says he's not, but everything he does... The Congress passed a bunch of sanctions against Russia because of their meddling in our election, and he won't institute them.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that makes him pro-Russian or pro-communist. Well, we'll let you go on that.
Larry, have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you, bud.
All right. Tonight, Ken, I love chili. Mm-mm-mm. I'm not going to be in town, but boy, I wish I had time to run out to Colfax tonight and get some chili and support the Colfax Historical Society. And I'm serious, man. I take my chili serious. I've never met a bowl of chili I don't like. Some people put hamburger in it. Some people put spaghetti, pasta in it. Some people put the little macaronis in it. I don't care what it is. I love chili. And tonight, the Colfax Historical Society is going to be having a bake sale and a chili cook-off. So 5:30 to 7 tonight out there at the beautiful Colfax Perry Township Public Library, 5:30 to 7 tonight. Go out there and support them. I talked to Amanda earlier this week, and she says she's super-duper busy with everything else out there as well. So this is a fundraiser for them, and they're hoping for a good turnout. So rain or shine, right? You'll be in the library, and we wish them the best of luck. If you do want more information, 324-2915, extension 100, 324-2915, extension 100. Go out there and see Amanda and crew. It is tonight, 5:30 to 7, at the Colfax Perry Township Public Library. And they're having baked goods, too. You can buy those and take them home. One more local thing. I know you've got a couple things over there, Ken. The Frankfort Optimist Club is inviting everyone, students who are, 18 by last October, I think, or younger. And it's a contest designed for youth to gain experience in public speaking. Many of the oratorical winners have not been the oldest contestants. Sometimes they've been the youngest. So they're looking for you for the competition on March 11th. And the best way to do this is to get an application, find out some information. What's the top prize in this? Like $2,500 certificate or scholarship? Just call 765-659-2919 with any questions. You can also call Liz at the front desk here at 659-3338 on any time in the afternoon. And she can take care of you because... she is an optimist, right? She's one of the top dog optimists. What do you got over there, Ken?
Well, a couple things out of Mumbai, India.
I was hoping you would bring this up.
Well, I'm going to bring something else up before I bring that one up.
Okay.
You and I were talking the other day, but the doctors in India say they've removed a 4-pound brain tumor from a man's head. Surgeons in Mumbai said it would be the largest brain tumor in the world. It was removed from a 31-year-old man in a 7-hour operation. The patient lost vision. Gee, I wonder why. Because of the giant tumor, and he hopes to regain sight when he recovers from the operation. But if he does, that's worth it. This one is, I don't know. I don't think I could even do it. And I like the product. I really do, but I don't think I could do this.
Okay.
Man in India, here again, setting a Guinness World Record for chugging a bottle of ketchup.
A bottle?
A bottle. I'm not going to try and pronounce the guy's name. After chugging a bottle of ketchup in under 30 seconds, he used a glass bottle and a drinking straw to finish off 14 ounces of ketchup in 25.37 seconds.
Wow.
But he's no stranger to record setting. His accomplishments include fitting 88 grapes in his mouth at the same time and eating 9.5 ounces of peanut butter in 60 seconds. I don't like peanut butter that well either.
I do.
Well, he's also known for having the fastest time to peel and eat a grapefruit, and most oranges peeled and eaten in 3 minutes.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm not going there.
That'd be cool to see in action. I may have to YouTube that. I wonder if he had a bunch of hot dogs before he had the thing of ketchup.
I'm not even going there either.
Party line, good morning.
Good morning. Quick question.
Yeah.
When's the park superintendent going to be on?
I don't know. Can't answer that.
I didn't know if he we plan on him being on or not.
Right now, he's not scheduled.
Oh, okay.
I thought we had Travis scheduled.
No, not right now.
Thank you.
Not right now. Okay. No problem.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, we've had him on, I think, once since he took over.
Yeah.
That was good. Well, we know he's busy, and his wife's busy, too, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in D.C., so.
Mm-hmm. Couple other things here before we take our first break. A reminder that you can now listen to Party Line anytime you want on demand at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the On the Air tab and click on Party Line. It's there. The nation's biggest privately owned bank and a car rental giant, Ken, are ending their partnerships with the National Rifle Association.
I saw that this morning.
First National Bank of Omaha and Enterprise Holdings are breaking ties with the NRA after last week's deadly mass shooting at a Florida high school. First National Bank of Omaha said yesterday it won't renew its contract to issue an NRA Visa card. Kind of interesting there. Party Line, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Kevin and Ken.
Hi, Carl.
How are you?
We're good.
Ken, have they ever said anything? I just got back from Florida, and when I leave the state of Indiana, the roads seem to improve 100%. I've never seen such bad roads as what we have in the state of Indiana. They need to take that $2 billion that they got saved up. They want to brag about all the money they got, and they're going to have to do something with these roads. When I got home, my wife said she wanted to get a Bruno's pizza. So I went over there and got her one last night, and I turned on that street, St. Mary's. I was going to go in the back way up there to Williams. They're across the Turtle Creek Apartments, I believe they are.
Yep.
And that corner there is completely gone. I had to stop and wait on traffic to go by because it's just a one-lane road down through there. On that corner there, it's just completely destroyed, and they can't fix it because they got to use these this hot mix because that cold mix won't stay in there, you know. So I can't blame the city for not getting them fixed because it won't stay. But you drive down that street, it's just bumpity, 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 bumpity. And, you know, and I'm driving down through there in a Cadillac. I don't know what it'd be like in a Chevy. You know, it's just, they need to have a map. When you go to the city council meeting, and I'm going to try to go, they need a map to tell you what streets in Frankfurt you can drive on and what streets you can't drive on that's not safe.
Well, I don't
what
know,
do you think?
I don't know if that's real practical, Carl. I know every year we have potholes all over Indiana. Sometimes it does seem worse than others,
right?
Right.
And realistically, you know, they're going to try and address as many things as they can when it goes to street paving, but you can't always do it that way.
Well, I understand, Ken, but these are getting to be dangerous.
It's just
my age, but I don't think I've seen streets like this before.
Well, this is a state thing, and it's also a city thing. It's both. So I mean, state, city, and county have all got to join in on this one. So but you know, the thing of it is that you can only do so much, so long for some of the things, and before you have to go tear them up and do something else. And the problem is, you can't do that either.
That
kind of costs you an arm and a leg.
If they get some of these politicians instead of spending taxpayers' money like Todd Rokita, they said in the paper, spent $3 million campaigning on taxpayers' money, and the closest one was $400,000 to him, they need to take some of that money and put it on the streets instead of, I'm going to Washington to be a millionaire.
Well, you know that ain't going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen, but things just need to... I gotta get off here and take my medicine.
I know.
So you guys have a wonderful
All right.
Day.
Later.
Have a good weekend, right. Carl. Ken, thanks for joining me. You have a good weekend, too.
All right.
We'll come back with more Party Line next here on WILO.
We're the station with Party Line, 1570 AM and 96.9 FM. WILO, Frankfurt, broadcasting worldwide at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.